You guys, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books was nominated for a Webby Award, which is this really prestigious award that I am dying to win. And there's a People's Voice component, and you can vote and get me from number two, second place, to first place. But you have to vote. Please go to vote.webbys.com. Vote.webbys.com, but it's kind of complicated, so it might be easier just to go to zibbyowens.com or my Instagram at zibbyowens, where it'll always be in my stories and it's in one of those little circle highlights. Please, please, please vote. Voting ends April 18th and I'm in second place, so please vote for best individual episode, talk show, interview show. Thank you so much.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hi, this is Zibby Owens, and you're listening to the award-winning podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. And speaking of books, I have two of my own books coming out this spring and summer. Princess Charming is a picture book, which debuts on April 19th, and Bookends, a memoir of love, loss, and literature, comes out on July 1st, and it is truly a labor of love. I hope you'll pre-order, order, and join me on tour as I go across the country. You can find out more at zibbyowens.com or bookendsmemoir.com. And you can follow me on Instagram at zibbyowens because I always post about everything. Enjoy the show. Alyssa Shalasky is the author of This Might Be Too Personal and Other Intimate Stories. Alyssa is the editor of New York Magazine's Sex Diaries and author of Apron Anxiety. She is also starring and producing in the Sex Diaries docuseries on HBO. She has written for numerous publications, including the New York Times, People, Town & Country, Women's Health, Refinery 29, Cosmopolitan, and Glamour Magazine. She lives with her family in Brooklyn Heights. Welcome, Alyssa. Thank you so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books.
Thank you so much for having me right here, sitting on your lap.
I know, I'm sorry. I couldn't figure out how to set up two microphones because it's been several years since I've been doing in-person podcasts. So, we're sharing this intimate mic.
Well, that's the name of the book, I guess.
It's perfect.
Other intimate stories, yes. Like cuddling with Zibby and doing her
Hashtag Cuddle Factory. Okay, Alyssa, I know I emailed you right after I finished this book, but I loved your book. I fell in love with you as a person, not in a creepy way. And now I'm touching your knees. It's even creepier. But you just, all of the stuff that you went through and the growth and the hardships and then the ending and you took us through so much stuff, all the stuff of life. And yet you wrote it in such a way that you could digest it quickly and you were turning page. I was flipping through the pages frantically and just wanting more and more and more and so rooting for you. So I feel like it will be impossible for anyone to finish this and not just be forever rooting for your success in every way. So.
Oh, thank you. You're so it's such a sensitive time when you put a book out and you're just approval is your oxygen right now. And I'm not used to that because I kind of like to move through the world not giving a shit what anybody thinks about me. And then you write a book and you put a book out there and it's the exact opposite. And you just like want to know that people liked it. And it was a pandemic book in like the most unpleasant sense of the word. It was so hard to write it and get it done with my kids at home and no help and all my deadlines and burying friends. And I don't have to tell you, it was the worst time. And so I wrote this book kind of in, it felt like a fever dream. I don't even remember a lot of it. I'm sort of like, what's Sibby going to ask me about? Because I hope I wrote it. I promised myself to tell the truth, to be only myself, and to get it done. And that was like the extent of the work I did on it. So I'm glad to dig in with you because I don't remember what I said. it was a pandemic book. It's raw and it's honest and there's tension in there. And that's the reality. That was the reality. So hopefully it made the book even like more authentic because I definitely didn't have time to obsess over how it made me sound or what I was saying. It was just honest and raw and real.
Well, it shows, it's like an expose on what it's like when you're a writer and have all these dreams and aspirations and how instable, like a revenue stream that provides, right? And the things that you had to juggle, and we were talking earlier about, you know, there was this whole element of you trying to sell a show. I feel like that was like the through line of the thing. You really from the beginning wanted to sell a show and all of that, and how you can even put all of your effort towards selling something for TV and then miss out on all the income you might have earned or the projects you would have done, and how it's just so hard to the point where like even like paying for preschool becomes an impossibility, you know?
I mean, there's like this misconception that all these like Brooklyn writers were all trust fund babies or whatever, and it's never been like that for me. Like, writing is the way I make a living, and I'm very practical about the work I take. I have 3 columns for New York Magazine. I've never missed a deadline. I need those jobs. And then I'm like anybody in any job. I'm just like trying to climb the ladder and do better and get bigger roles, bigger jobs. And it's a nonstop hustle, you know. And then you think you're like, okay, well, I have my second book now and this project and the work is in this project. And now I am good. And yet it's never enough. Like, when do you stop? Like, when is it enough? For me, it's, you know, I would like some financial stability. And I think I'll know when it's just like, you did it. Mm-hmm. You're a success. Like, you go enjoy your kids, go enjoy the new little house you bought. You did it. So I'm not there yet. I'm still sort of like clawing to that place. But yeah, it's never ending. It's tough. There's worse jobs for sure. But
it's just so ironic because anybody on the outside would think 100% you're successful. Are you kidding? This is your second book. You have this new project coming. You have columns. Like, you've been a working writer for all this time. Like, anyway, I know this is only one sliver of the book, but I just...
Thanks. It's a lot of also just like our own inner voices. And I do know, like, I know that I've worked really hard and it's paying off. And I have a very cool lifestyle because of it. And I know that people like my work and like my voice. I do get all of that. I mean, there's just a lot of like mental gymnastics when you're a writer. There's just days where you're like, everybody loves me and my work is really, you know, everyone's relating to my work and everything's happening and I'm going to get a TV show and I'm going to write another book. And then like in a flash, you're like, everybody hates me. Nobody wants to throw me a book party. Oh my God. Why is my book like taking up in space on this shelf when there's so many better writers? And I just want to hide and be with my kids and like never show my face again. And I'm unwanted. And then
we are doing our book party together. I'm so excited for that. I can't wait.
I cannot wait. I thought I was going to have to sleep in my van because I couldn't find a hotel.
Oh no. Do you want to stay with me?
Heath Friedman hooked me up.
Okay.
My shout out to his hotels. But point is I would not miss that event for the world. I'm so excited.
Well, let's talk after.
Okay.
So one of the other things I loved is your relationship with your mom. And we haven't really explained this whole book, but it's essentially your life journey from a set period of time as you navigate relationships, deciding that the very safe traditional guy who you are headed towards marriage is that you don't want that path that so many people happily take and just slide on by. And you're like, that is not my path. And you had the self-assurance and will to say, you know what, I'm going to trust my instincts and this is not right. And I feel like that's something you kept doing over and over in your life, in the book, in your life, and until you get to a place that is so authentic, but it's in a different path perhaps than other people, right? Like you had a baby and then met the men, love of your life, essentially, which was great. But anyway, the parts about your relationship with your parents. I mean, your mom is like the best character in the book. And when you go through IVF or you're doing IUI or something, mm-hmm. and she's in the room with you, should we even tell this story?
This is everybody's favorite is it? Scene.
I know. I need to pick the same thing as other people.
No, I'm thrilled. I love my mom. I love for her to she's out in all my books, all anything I write, my mom's always the star of it all. Yeah, I can tell. I mean,
I host a sex talk show, so I can say these things now. Tracy has trained me that I can actually say it out loud.
Oh, well, I write the sex diaries column for New York Magazine. Yeah. I mean, I talk about, like, blow jobs and rim jobs, and that pays my rent. So, okay, I had a baby on my own. You'll all learn why. It was a journey. But I had to go to – my mother was really there for me for all of it, as was my father and sister. And it was time for the IUI at NYU, and the nurse did the, you know, turkey baster thing. And then she's like, I'm going to leave you in here to get dressed and, you know, get up slowly. And my mom was there with me, and she had been super sweet holding my hand and sort of doing her prayers. And when the nurse left, my mother starts to sort of move herself into, like, the medicine cabinet at the, like, the supply closet. And I'm like, Mom, where are you going? And she said, do you have a vibrator? And I was like, no, I don't have a vibrator. She said, you didn't bring a vibrator? And I said, no, Mom. Like, what? Why the fuck would I have a vibrator? Anyway, she had read an article that after an IUI, if you simulate like real sex and have an orgasm the way you might during sex, it actually like gets things flowing a little bit. And so she's just crouched down from the you know, then you'll read the rest. But it was quite a moment.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't get pregnant that time, and I didn't do the thing she wanted me to do. So maybe my mother was right in the end. Who knows? She usually always is. But no, like about what you were saying before, like doing it my way and living an authentic life, like that was actually, I'm so glad you said that, because when I was contemplating writing a second book, it was the beginning of the pandemic, and I was listening to a ton of podcasts, and I would just walk. That's like all I do for my self-care is walk and listen to podcasts or Audible. And I was walking around and I was listening to Brené Brown and like Krista Tippett and Glennon Doyle all the time. And I love these women and I worship them. But I was like, everyone's talking about vulnerability and authenticity and being your true self. But like, I actually kind of live my life that way. And maybe instead of just listening to tips and guides on how to do it, like maybe I can actually show people what that looks like to a normal person in real life. And I started thinking, like, maybe I can show what it's like to be vulnerable when you run away from marriage. Maybe I can show what it's like to be vulnerable at your abortion. Maybe I can show what it's like to be vulnerable when you decide you're ready to have a baby and you are done waiting for a man and you don't give a shit what anybody else has to say about it. Like, maybe I can just tell those stories. Nobody's going to come to me to speak on like feminism or women's theory, but I can share my personal stories and show people what it felt like and tasted like and smelled like and how it all played out. And honestly, like, look, it worked out. It was scary and painful and hard, and I had no one telling me which way to turn, but I trusted myself in a real way, and it really did work out.
That's so amazing. It's so amazing.
Thank you.
I mean, all these different junctures. I feel like you let us into your decision-making process, even the times where you're literally trying to sabotage yourself. Mm. You know, like when you go to the farm and it's like so perfect with this, I don't want to give anything away, but during this one relationship, you have like a time that's actually really nice and welcome, and you like don't even trust it, which I completely relate to. I'm like, this is too good. Something's wrong.
Totally. Right?
So, and you were like, I don't think I can do this. Everyone's too, you know, it's just too good.
It's too good. Or everyone's you know, you just go, you walk through life sometimes and you're just like, everyone's got it all figured out and they're all so beautiful and they're all so in love and they're all so fertile or like whatever it is that like you don't have at that moment. I'm like, that's bullshit. Like, it's exactly the opposite. Everyone you meet is going through something and is hurting and has been through trauma and pain and is working through it just like you. But yeah, it's in that moment it was a tough spot for me because everyone was just so perfect. And I am not that. I am messy and I'm flawed. And thank God. I mean, I love that about myself, but it's not always the easiest way to be.
Everyone is messy and flawed is the truth of it. And that's what part of what is so amazing about this is like you take all the inner stuff and share it and everyone will relate to some piece of this or another, right? It's just so like, oh, yeah, she worries about that or she does that. And the way even you share heartbreak and relationships that didn't work out and why and how, you know, I found it so interesting when you like loop back around with one of your exes towards the end to find out like, well, what do you think? Like, just what did we do? Like, what did I do something to destroy this? And
right. Because we tell these narratives, we tell ourselves. I mean, that's like therapy 101, but like we have these stories, our inner voices, like, can they be trusted? You know, I try to like have, I really believe in like perspective and like when you're worked up about something or hurting or upset, I try to look at things from every angle and I can say like, this is how I feel about it, but this is actually what happened and like the two can exist, you know? But anyway, that's how I felt with that ex. I was just like, in my mind, I wrecked everything. I burned us down. I destroyed it and I'm like a nightmare, but is that true? And he was like, no, hell no, you know? So maybe he was just being generous, but it's interesting.
The only story that I wanted that was not in here was the story of this book selling and like you getting this book deal. Because I feel like we were along for the ride for so many ups and downs. And then you just kind of mentioned at some point, like, and then, you know, I got the second book, and then you're so funny because you're like, hi, in parentheses. I was like, that's so funny. I love that. And then you just keep going. So at what point, like, when did that happen, and how did that happen? Not this is not a criticism. I'm not saying you shouldn't put it in the book or anything. I'm just saying I was left wanting more. That's all.
Oh, good. No, that's great. It happened because I got so busy raising my kids and making a living as a freelance writer that I didn't realize I had been doing, like, my work was kind of popular, you know, you're in the grind, you're making your deadlines and strumming up new assignments. And I just didn't really realize until I wrote that article for the New York Times called like for parents, sex is dead or RIP sex or something. And the feedback was unbelievable and it went viral. And that article for me was something I just like wrote in a second, you know, probably from the subway. And I just put it out there into the world. And I, because the feedback was so nice, I was just like, oh, like I should be doing more. Like I should write a second book. People like what I have to say or more than that, like it's making people happy and feel less alone. And it's easy for me to open up like that. It's very easy for me to talk about sex and heartbreak and, you know, misadventures of the heart. So I called my agent, Meg Thompson, and I was like, do you think I have another book in me? And at the same time, she knew, and again, I was oblivious to the fact that my sex diaries column for New York Magazine had become a really big deal. And there's, you know, TV networks interested in it. And anyway, we were just like, oh, yeah, you're having a moment. Like, I'm glad. I didn't even realize because I was just too busy surviving. But I was like, something was happening, and I just decided to run with it. And I was like, I always knew for the second book I would know when the time was right. And I was like, it's now. Let's go. Let's do it. And I pitched this book to St. Martin's Press. That's who I wanted. And my editor, Hannah Phillips, like took it from there and made it all come to life. And it's been a really, really positive experience. I loved it. I can't wait to write my third.
Awesome. I can't wait to read your third.
You've got the bug, the bug too.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, grown-ups. The Cat in the Hat cast is a new podcast from Wondery, perfect for the whole family. Join the Cat in the Hat and your favorite Dr. Seuss characters as they get whisked away on a new adventure every week. Fish dreams of creating his very own polite and quiet podcast. That is, until he gets a surprise visit to his Fishbowl podcast studio from the Cat in the Hat himself, and it becomes very clear that the cat has other plans for the podcast, and those plans are the opposite of quiet. The cat may be disruptive, but it turns out he's also a great help to get Fish out of all kinds of predicaments. Bursting with music, silliness, and rhymes, the Cat in the Hat cast encourages us all to find fun that is funny in every episode. So sing along to new favorite songs, try your luck at Titanic tongue twisters, have some fun with wondrous wordplay, and most importantly, bring your family along for all of the adventures in the Cat in the Hat cast. Follow the Cat in the Hat cast on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to the Cat in the Hat cast ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Wondery Kids Plus in Apple Podcasts. Today's episode has been sponsored by J. McLaughlin. J. McLaughlin is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with J. McLaughlin and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have J. McLaughlin stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through J. McLaughlin's local and loyal programming. Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to J. McLaughlin's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern. And the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at J. McLaughlin. And so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. J. McLaughlin is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20, capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital ZIBBY20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white, open, long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, J. McLaughlin. Thanks so much.
How are you handling the people who you write about in the story?
Oh, that's the problem. I mean, the best writers are, like, I feel like you have to just not care. You just, like, can't care about making people mad or getting upset with you. You can't care about getting sued. Like, you just have to be like, fuck it, I'm an artist, I'm going to write what I want. I'm not that person.
I know. I was like, go, Alyssa. You got this.
I am. In every other way, like, we don't know each other that well socially, no, but I in know, my yep. personal life, I am very tough. Like, don't come for me. Don't come for my kids. Like, I'm pretty fierce. I'm my mother's daughter. I'm very fierce and strong. When it comes to my books and my work, I don't want to get into any trouble. Mm-hmm. Again, this is my livelihood. So it's tricky. Like, there's a lot more I would have said. Of course, I'm not going to pretend. Like, there are details I would have loved to share with the world, but I'm afraid to hurt people I love, and I'm afraid to lose work or whatever. So I try and tell the truth. I try to keep it positive because most of the people in my life I am madly in love with, you know? And beyond that, I check almost everything with everybody as much, you know. I do the best I can, and then I have really good lawyers.
And that's all you can do.
That's all you can do. If you're going to be afraid, you can't call yourself a writer. Yep. You can't. It just, like, it won't work, or at least a memoirist. You know, like, it's novel. Writing a novel would be great because I can just explore
all of this and go as like deep and dark and dirty as I wanted to.
That could be your next thing.
I know. It would be like becoming a surgeon, though. It's like a completely different art form, I feel like. No, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I bet you'd be really good at it.
Well, I definitely, there's a lot that it would be fun to release.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the stuff you wish you would.
Yeah.
And what about your kids? Because I know other people often say, like, oh, how do you handle, you know, how do you write about your kids? Are they characters? Like, how do you handle that in literature? And not just in the book, but even in your life, right? Like, you're very open about who your kids are and posting and whatever. Like, did you make that decision at some point and say, like, this is great, this is who we are? Or do you question, I don't know. Like, what's your thoughts about that? What are your thoughts about that?
I'm a really open person, and that's who I am. I haven't really had a heavy conversation with myself about it yet. I sort of say to myself before I write something or post something, is this something I would say at a dinner party? Like, is this something I would share at a work lunch with my colleagues? And if the answer is yes, then I'm okay with it. As far as like my daughter's creation story and the sperm donor and the anonymity of him, I felt more protective of him in a way because that's the unspoken deal. I don't know who he is, but that's the unspoken deal we have, is that he will remain anonymous, and I have to respect that. And I love this man. He gave me the greatest gift of my life, my daughter. So I was protective of the few details I know about him. And then I do just think I have a good sense of what's okay and what's not. My kids are still young. My daughter's 6. My son's 2. I'm sure things will change and it will become a little bit more complicated. But for now, I just trust myself as a mother, and I know what I'm comfortable with, and I can leave it at that.
That's such an interesting thing, to love someone and be so grateful to someone you've never met and perhaps will not meet. I mean, who knows? We'll see what happens. And that he could just be walking past you, sitting next to you on the subway. Like, do you look at everybody around ever and think, like, I mean, I know you have the one thing where you thought maybe that was him, but...
There's a scene in the book where, so donors get celebrity lookalikes, and I call him Vince Vaughn. I disguise that because if you were to go to California Cryobank and go, you know, that would have been too revealing. It was an actor like Vince Vaughn. I thought I saw him in real life in LA, and I was like, this is the moment. Like, and what do you say? Like, I was just, for me, I'm never speechless, but I was speechless because I was almost positive this was a sperm donor just based on who I imagined he would grow up to be. I've only seen childhood photos. And I just made, first of all, I was frozen. I just couldn't move. I was in a state of shock. And also, I just made this quick mental calculation that it was better he remained a mysterious superhero to me. It was better he remained a fantasy. I didn't want to know that he was, like, going to his job at Home Depot and then to, like, choir practice. Or who knows? Like, all of that would have been great at no judgment. But I don't want those details. I just want him to be, like, this angel, gorgeous, with great genes, very healthy DNA angel who helped me get pregnant. And I can leave it at that. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I even love how you, at one point in the story, you're like trying to figure out, you're like, I feel like something's coming next. I feel like I'm getting this vibe. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, it's motherhood. Like, that's what I want to do next.
I know.
Like, I just know it now 100%. I've identified it and now I'm doing it.
I'm so glad that my parents raised me, or who knows, I was born with like the sense to grab that. Like, when you know something to be so true that I just grabbed it and I was not letting go of it. I was convinced now was the time. And I meet so many women now who are like just trying it on for size, like maybe I'll become a single mom or whatever. And I'll see it and then I'm like, they're not ready to grab it. Yeah, anyone, like, beware of me if you want to have a baby and you're not sure how, because I will get you pregnant. I am like relentless, because it was the best decision ever. And I had a built-in support system, tons of family. I never had a nanny, but I had my mother, my father, and tons of friends. But I don't know. If you want to be a mom and you know that for sure, just, you have to make it happen. It's too tragic otherwise. And there's so many ways. Somebody once said to me when I was trying to get pregnant, I never met a woman who wanted to become a mother and didn't find a way how. Aww. Right? There's so much, there's ways.
Well, there are lots there's of ways hope. To be a mother too.
That yeah. exactly. Many mm-hmm. definitions. And just there's lots of hope.
You're from a Jewish family, and I feel like your Judaism also played a role as one of like the themes in the book. I just talk a little more about that and how it plays into your life now. And
yeah, thanks for it's so funny when we were talking about press for the book, they're like, how about Vogue? And like, hopefully we'll get Zibby. And I'll, and I was like, what about like Boston Jewish Life? Or, I don't even know if that's a magazine. I don't know why I want, or, and of course, like 92nd Street Y. Like, there were so many things I really felt like this was like this book had like such a Jewish soul.
Yep.
And I rejected my Jewishness for many years. I never cared about marrying a Jewish guy. I mean, I still have never had pork or shellfish, which is shocking considering I had a baby with a Lebanese sperm donor. But you know, being Jewish is a lot about contradictions, and I've embraced those contradictions. All I can say is when I got pregnant with Hazel, the Jewish community, the Chabad, not to be like preachy or whatever, because it's not for everyone, but they were really there for me. They, in so many ways, without wanting anything back. And it meant a lot to me. When I was about to become a single mom, the people that lifted me up and supported me, I will never forget. Like, I will never forget my friend Heather, who left me a homemade, like, jar of lentil soup the day I came home from the hospital. My friend Danielle, I mentioned her a million times in the book, who, like, bought me a fancy oof crib. Like, this was almost 7 years ago. Like, I will never forget these things. And, you know, it's important to hold on to. That's the stuff that matters.
You give me goosebumps. No, it's true. People, sometimes the people you least expect come forward and... In times
100%.
Like, oh my gosh, that's so nice.
Oh my God, absolutely. It's I talk a lot about. I don't talk a lot about it, but I'm like, I'm like the opposite of a class mom or the opposite of like a PTA mom. I'm busy. I'm disorganized. Like my kids like never show up with the right T-shirt for the right event, you know. And I'm always like, oh, PTA moms, da da da. And then recently, somebody who was very involved in my daughter's school asked me for coffee, and I was like, oh, she's going to want me to write something for them, and they're going to. And I was like, okay, I have a heart out in 20 minutes, you know, very important. And she was like, we just wanted to throw you a book party, like we just wanted to have an event for you. And we want to pay for it, and we said it, we found a place, and they're in. And I was like, I was moved to tears, because here I am judging like all these, you know, super moms, because I feel like I'm not one. And they were just there to show up for me, you know. So it does come from unexpected places, and I really I have so much gratitude. I'm not just using the word. It's like it fills my heart.
I love that so much. I love that so much. What kind of books do you like to read?
Okay, so I'm an Audible whore. I just went on a real Taylor Jenkins Reid binge. Mm-hmm. I did it all backwards because, God forbid, I do anything the normal way. So I did Malibu Rising, Daisy Jones. I loved Daisy Jones so much. I can barely talk about it without, like, starting to quiver. And then the Evelyn mm-hmm. one, which is Molly Shannon's book. Mm-hmm. Have you started it yet?
No, I have it right here. And
do it on Audible so you can hear her voice.
Okay, I will. That's a great idea.
It is so good. Zibby, I'm not saying this because we're friends. It is so good. It's so heartbreaking and it's so funny. Everybody says that about every single book, but this one is truly a combination
of... I didn't realize she had such like trauma in her life early and all of that until definitely. I was reading all the reviews and everything.
Yeah. I just texted my friend the friend I know Molly from, and I was like, am I going to die at the end of this book? Like, is it going to break my heart? Is it going to destroy me? And she's like, you're going to cry. And I said, okay, I'm going to wait until I put my book out, until I like get through all this. I don't think I can handle like just crumbling to the ground in Brooklyn Heights sobbing right now. I'm fragile enough. So that's like sort of the genre. I'll read Jesse Klein's book. I'm sure I'll love it and hate it because I want to be her so bad. And I love your books.
Oh, thank you.
I just got it, as you know, so I haven't gotten too far, but it's right in my wheelhouse.
Thank you. I do feel like there are similarities to our stories in some ways, like setbacks and writing and trying to accomplish something and obstacles and books and I don't know. Yeah. Or maybe it's what I know about. Maybe it's more like what I know in my head that maybe is not even in the book. You know what I mean?
Right. I feel like I pick up on it, but I get what you're saying.
I don't know. Maybe. Anyway.
Yeah.
But
no, there's a reason. Like, we wouldn't be here today, like, in your living room, touching knees, if we didn't feel, like, a certain sense of, you know, closeness.
I promise I will set the second microphone up soon.
No, it's great. It's great. This is, like, real down-to-earth, like, gritty podcasting.
This is how I've
on the Upper
been
East
doing
Side.
It. This is how I've been doing it the whole time. I'm like, I know, you're like, I thought you'd have, like, equipment, like, and be prepared.
Where's my headset? I'm where's, like, my assistant? No. Where's my Pellegrino?
No. I literally, like, plug in the one I bought on Amazon from day one, and this is how I still do it.
I love it. It's good. Much. It's you. I actually want to say I only have two regrets about the book. One, that I called Jake Gyllenhaal an asshole.
Mm, I did notice that. I was surprised by that. I hadn't heard that, but, you know.
I'm not saying it's not true. It just, it came out so harsh.
Okay.
That was, and I see his sister, almost every day in my neighborhood, and I'm just like, I want to be her friend, but I also don't want her to find out that I'm the one who called her brother an asshole. So I'm avoiding her. And the second one is, like, I wish I had, like, declared my, like, love for you somewhere in the book.
Me? Oh, my God, stop.
not like I wouldn't dedicate the book to you. But
oh my gosh,
but
so
we got closer, and you started becoming, like, supporting this book in particular after it was all said and done and at the printer and everything.
I
know you don't care. I know you care zero, but you have, to me, been part of this journey. And I will dedicate my third book to you.
No.
I know you would die.
That is not
your style, but I just wanted to say that.
Aw, you're so sweet. That's really nice. Last question.
You and Jake Gyllenhaal in the same sentence.
Yeah, thank you. Two regrets, Jake and me. Okay. What advice do you have for aspiring authors?
Oh, God, what can I say that hasn't been said before? Again, I'm not the kind of author that's like, go deep into the woods and, like, find your inner soul. I'm like, get an internship, work your ass off, make a million contacts, prove yourself to be invaluable, do good work, never miss a deadline, hustle, email an editor back 100 times in a row if they're too busy to get back to you. I mean, that's the kind of advice I would give, is just push hard, fight for yourself, advocate for yourself, assert yourself. No editor or agent or whatever is going to begrudge you for being too confident or too aggressive or too hungry. It's a beautiful thing. So, yeah, just go for it with everything.
Thank you, Alyssa. This was so fun.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations. I can't wait to see it come out in the world and all the exciting things to follow. So,
thank you.
Me too.
Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, and you're listening to the award-winning podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. If you like this podcast, you will love my new anthology called Moms Don't Have Time to Have Kids. Check it out, and you'll hear from 49 authors about all sorts of things moms don't have time to do. All the authors have been on this podcast. Also, check out my TikTok, @WithZibbyAndTracy, my other podcast, Sex Talk with Zibby and Tracy. Check out Moms Don't Have Time to Write on Medium. And, of course, my new publishing company called Zibby Books. And now back to our daily author interview site and a quick hello from some of my kids.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Enjoy the show.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.